balanced look at today's most important issues. This is InfoTrack. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Transitioning from military service to civilian life can be challenging. Support programs exist, but they're often underutilized, mainly due to lack of awareness. InfoTrack reporter Roy Mackey has the story. Roy?
Thank you, Chris. Leanne Knobloch is a professor in the Department of Communication at the University of Illinois, and she led this study that measured the number of military spouses who participated in a formal reintegration program after their partners returned from deployment. Professor, first, tell us about these formal reintegration programs and what they offer to service members.
Well, there's quite a variety, but these programs can range from workshops, seminars, support groups, educational podcasts, and things like that. We didn't assess the particular programs that people participated in, but we do know that the military offers a variety of programs that military spouses can participate in if they choose to.
So tell us the major headlines from your study.
We were surprised that only 16.5% of spouses reported participating in any kind of formal reintegration program upon reunion. We thought that number would be quite a bit higher, but it turns out that most spouses indicated that they did not participate in that formal reintegration program.
Were you surprised at that very low rate?
We were disappointed because there are some good high-quality programs out there, but they're not always accessible in individual locations, and they're not always available to spouses who might need them. So coverage across the country is a concern, but it's particularly telling when only 16.5% of spouses said that they did participate in such a program.
Did you find anything in particular that predicted whether someone would participate in a reintegration program?
Yes. People said that a lack of time was a barrier for them participating. If they were female, if they were employed outside the home, if their service member was on a combat mission, and if they had more children at home. So these specific barriers to participating in a formal reintegration are important because we can tailor the advertising strategies and the outreach efforts to these groups of people who may find a lack of time to be a big barrier to participating in a program. We also found that people who had more children were more likely to endorse a lack of childcare as a barrier for participating in a formal reintegration program, right? That makes sense. And so childcare, helping people make the time for these programs, those are all ways that we can lessen barriers for participating in these programs and help military spouses get the support they need.
What did you learn about why informal support networks like family and friends and neighbors seem to be more effective or at least more used than formal programs?
Our goal in the study was to compare across formal reintegration programs, but then also formal and informal support services during deployment itself. And we found that far and away, the most frequently used source of support was informal support from coworkers, neighbors, friends, and family during deployment. They were used much more frequently than a reintegration program upon reunion or any kind of formal support services during deployment, like support groups or community services or a primary care provider, mental health provider, chaplain. And we think that that's the case because those friends and family members are the ones in the trenches with the military family, and they clearly are stepping up to provide some support for probably things like childcare, transportation, emotional support, and the really informal ways that military spouses need assistance while a service member is deployed.
Did you find any difference in outcomes between those who relied on informal support versus these formal programs?
Yes, we found that spouses who received more informal support during deployment reported better marital quality upon reintegration, better mental health upon reintegration, and better social functioning upon reintegration. Interestingly, we did not find that formal support during deployment or participating in a reintegration program upon reunion predicted any of those outcomes. So really, the informal support was the most frequently used, and it seemed to be the most helpful.
We're talking with Professor Leanne Knobloch from the University of Illinois. She recently led a study that measured the number of military spouses who participated in a formal reintegration program after their partners returned from military deployment. I understand you found that many spouses said they weren't even aware of these reintegration services at all. What are the problems regarding how the military communicates with families?
Our findings showed that about 45.4% of military spouses were not aware that there even was a formal reintegration program in the area that they could participate in. Untangling why that number is so high is a little bit difficult based on our data, because it's possible that some spouses were in areas where there truly was no program, but it's also possible that they were not aware of the services that existed. And if that's the case, our policy implications are for military command and military supporting organizations to work extra hard to get the word out about these valuable support services so that they are on the radars of spouses and spouses can take advantage of them. We suspect that sometimes the service member knows about these programs, but the word doesn't trickle down through the family to the spouse. And so if that's the case, then targeted advertising strategies directly to military spouses may be helpful, or just stronger encouragement from command and leadership. Like, hey, these programs have the capacity to be super helpful. We want you to be aware of them and we want you to use them.
You found some specific demographic groups seem to be more underserved than others. Tell us about that and what you think might explain those disparities.
We found a couple of different groups of people who seem to be underserved in these resources. And so gaps in support seem to exist, especially among military spouses of enlisted personnel and those military spouses who were unemployed, and also those military spouses from Hispanic communities. And so we point to these three groups and suggest that targeted interventions for these three groups might help with outreach to get these folks better able to take advantage of the resources that are available.
What role do you think civilian communities, workplaces, schools, churches could play in strengthening support for military spouses?
That's a great question. We found that far and away the most frequently used source of support during deployment and the most effective source of support during deployment came from extended family, friends, neighbors, and coworkers. Some of these people are likely to be military connected themselves, and they're affected by the service member's deployment as well. But we also anticipate that at least some of these people are civilians, civilian neighbors, civilian friends, civilian coworkers, civilian family members. And not all civilians are fully aware of the pressures of deployment and how much effort it takes to support a family during that time. And so we hope that our findings highlight the importance of civilian communities educating themselves about the pressure of deployment and how they can best support their military-connected friends, family members, coworkers, and neighbors. And sort of bridging that civilian-military divide might really help position those civilian informal caregivers to offer even better support.
Looking ahead, if you could recommend just one change at the top levels of the military to improve reintegration for military families, what would it be?
Our data showed that approximately 41% of military spouses said there was no program available to them, and 45% said they were not aware of any programs at all. And so there's clearly a disconnect between the programs that are offered and the word getting out to people. So if I had one recommendation for military command, I would say that making sure that those support services are evenly accessible through locations across the country to both active duty, reserve component, and National Guard families across the country, and making sure that the advertising is robust enough to be able to attract the military spouses who most need to participate in these programs.
Professor Leanne Knobloch from the University of Illinois, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.